This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. We've been making a journey through Genesis and we've been spending time on this man, Joseph, who prefigures in many ways the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today we're going to continue with our subject of Joseph in Genesis chapter 45. And again, I'll just mention that if you want to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. Now, Genesis 45, you'll notice, has been dealing with the second journey of Joseph's brothers back to Egypt to pick up food. And this time they had come with their Benjamin, who was the full brother of Joseph. It was the others were half brothers, but Joseph was his full brother by his mother Rachel. And we noted that he had eaten with the brothers when they didn't know who he was. And we had noted how that he had put them in their birth order when he had them eat. They thought that when they came back, they were being going to be reprimanded or perhaps imprisoned because they had found their money back in their sacks, even though they had paid the steward. And they didn't really know what to expect from this person that they thought was a stranger, but this person was the Lord Jesus. And there's many people like that when we try to introduce them to the Lord. Even though they should know who he is, to them he is a stranger. And the reason he's a stranger is because there's this thing in the world called sin, and sin separates between us and our God. And so when we hear about the Lord Jesus, we either think that he's going to be judgmental and he's going to criticize us because of the way we live, and that may be true, but he's going to do it because he wants to cure this problem of sin. But he's not judgmental like people in the world are judgmental. He is willing to accept all into his kingdom, but they have to come his way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So these brothers didn't recognize Joseph, even though they should have. And the reason they didn't is because they had sinned against Joseph and had sold him into slavery. And ultimately, he had become second in command in Egypt. So now they're back here with their brother Benjamin. And last time we dealt with the section having to do with the tears of Joseph when he introduces himself to his brothers. And so when we look at those tears, we would come to verse 14, and then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. He kissed his brothers. Now, a kiss is always a sign of affection. And the only place in the Bible, well, maybe not the only place, but one of the places in the Bible where a kiss is really not something you want to get was when Judas kissed the Lord in order to betray him. Kissed him as though he were his friend, but he did it to betray him. And we know there are people like that that feign to be or pretend to be your friends, and they will kiss you when in fact they are not, and the kiss is just a way of covering their real purpose and emotion. But that was not the case here. He kissed all his brothers. And I think I said last time, if this had been me, there certainly would have been no kiss. I would have at least imprisoned them all for a while. I would have wanted to have some satisfaction and vengeance even perhaps with regard to what they had done to me. I'd wanted them to make full and complete apologies. Although they had done that as they had confessed their sin to each other without realizing that Joseph heard and understood them. So now he's fallen on their brothers and he's kissed and he's wept over them. And then the report of it was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brothers have come. So please, Pharaoh and his servants, well. Joseph was making Pharaoh very happy with the way he was handling things. And so they were very happy when his brothers had come. And that's interesting because the Jews, by and large, are not well accepted anywhere. They're considered to be outcasts. They came out of Egypt. And even in our day, oftentimes, there is a lot of resistance toward that particular nationality. There's people that have an inbred hatred toward them, even though God has chosen them in this world, on this planet, to show His grace and His judgment and His righteousness to the nations of the world. And they are His earthly chosen people. Right now they're in rebellion, but that's between them and God. But there should be, of course, no animosity on our part toward them as there was on the part of Hitler and others who have down through the years persecuted them. Of course, when I say that, there is no people group that we as Christians, at least, should persecute. We should be willing to accept all people from all nationalities, particularly when it comes to the matter of the gospel, because the Lord has come and offered salvation to all. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that all means all. And so we know that we too, like the Lord, cannot show prejudice and partiality toward people groups that we don't really know and understand. That doesn't mean that we aren't wise in our relationships with them. It just means that because of their nationality alone, we do not reject them. And so when we look at this passage, we noted that there were tears in the life of the Lord. There's tears in the life of Joseph, and there's tears in the life of the Lord. And last time we dealt with the tears that he wept when Lazarus died. And last time we also looked at his weeping over Jerusalem because judgment was coming and they didn't know the time of their visitation. And we hurriedly covered the idea from Hebrews chapter 5 that he was weeping in the garden of Gethsemane as Satan was placing the burden of what was taking place on him there. Hebrews 5 verse 7 says, "For Jesus, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard, in that he feared." Where did that happen? Well, it didn't happen at the cross, because at the cross he died. He was not saved from death at the cross, but he was saved from death in the Garden of Gethsemane. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he would say, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." And we have to be careful, because the Lord never sinned and did not have the sin nature, which makes me wonder if depression is always associated with sin and the sin nature, or if it is associated oftentimes with a real attack by Satan against a righteous person. Because we see, even in the Old Testament, Elijah, being depressed after he had wrought a great victory. And we see the Lord Jesus here being depressed, having the weight of the agony in the garden being so great that I think Satan was trying to get him to take his own life here rather than go to the cross. But of course, the Lord was not tempted by sin. And so an angel came and strengthened him. But we don't always grasp the fact that not all of his suffering was at the cross. He was suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane mentally as he considered the agony of the cross. And Satan was there. "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." And he was heard. He was saved from death there so he could go to the cross and be our Savior. Now, most people don't look at that verse the way I'm looking at it, but I believe that in view of Hebrews 5, those tears that he suffered, that he shed there, make us realize that he was a true man and he was truly God. So we know that those are tears that the Lord has shed in order that we might be saved. And it shows to us that he loves his friends. And it shows to us that he doesn't love judgment. And it shows to us that he's a real man when it comes to anticipating the pain and agony of the cross. But when we come to Hebrews 12, we see another person who had tears. Hebrews 12 and verse 17, and we've read about this in Genesis. It has to do with Esau rejecting his blessing. And it says, therefore, you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he did not find any place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Esau had come in one day from a hunt. He was hungry, and Jacob had made a lentil stew, and Esau wanted to eat of that lentil stew, and Jacob said, sell me your birthright, and he, in a casual way, despised it and gave it to Jacob. And that birthright speaks to us of a birthright we all have by virtue of being born into this world, and that birthright is the right to be saved, the right to be blessed. But we have to come God's way, and when we despise it the way Esau despised his, there will be a place when it will, there will be tears because of that, and I am convinced that that will be true. And there will be a time, I assume it's after death, but some people would say even before death. There are some people who have rejected Christ and have turned their back on him, and they can no longer be touched by the gospel. And I would like to believe that up until the day of death, anyone that hears the gospel can respond to it and be saved, but they have to respond and recognize that what the Bible says about them is true, that they're sinners, and they have to respond and recognize that the only way of salvation is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and entrusting in him. And so, if you reject a blessing that you have a right to just by virtue of being born into this world, there's a day coming when there's going to be tears because you rejected that birthright. And so as we look down through this chapter, I'm not going to read all the rest of it, but what we read in verse 26 is that the brothers go back to their father, and they told him, saying, Joseph is still alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart stood still because he did not believe them. And when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. Then Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. And here, in a sense, we have a picture of the resurrection. And it's because of an empty tomb that I can preach to you today with confidence that our Savior, too, is alive, and one day we'll go to him, either by virtue of the rapture, or we'll go to him by virtue of death. But either way, our eternity will be secured because we have trusted in our heavenly Joseph, and I trust that that is true of my listeners today. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program. We thank thee for thy love, for thy salvation, for thy word, for thy Son. And we just trust that all who are listening today will have whatever need might be present in their life met through the Lord Jesus and the Word of God. Now, we thank thee for thy love in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.